Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface, the Neil Haley Show. I'm excited to welcome program Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you, man? What's going on?
Neil, today I'm going to do a program about face masks. The title is Wearing a Face Mask, A Careful Review of the Evidence, meaning the scientific evidence. And what we're talking about with all this discussion from the media and other people, government officials and everything, is, in my opinion, not scientifically valid. And so let's get right on to it. I'm going to do a series because we need not to run this program over about 30 minutes, and we'll see how much of it we get done today. Okay?
I'm excited. This is great. Let's go ahead and start.
The question of whether to wear a face mask or not during the COVID-19 pandemic remains emotional and contentious. Why? This question about the utility of face coverings is now overwrought with steep politicalization. Importantly, the evidence was not there to support mask use for asymptomatic people to stop viral spread during a pandemic. While the evidence may seem conflicted, the evidence, including the peer-reviewed evidence, actually does not support its use and leads heavily toward masks having no significant impact in stopping the spread of the COVID virus. In fact, it is not reasonable at this time to conclude that surgical and cloth masks used as they currently are have absolutely no impact on controlling the transmission of COVID-19 virus, and current evidence implies that face masks actually can be harmful. All this is to say, and as so comprehensively documented by Dr. Roger W. Koops in a recent American Institute of Economic Research publication, there is no clear scientific evidence that masks, surgical or cloth, work to mitigate risk to the wearer or to those coming into contact with the wearer as they are currently worn in everyday life, and specifically as we referred to COVID-19. We present the evidence in full later in the program. We also state that should adequate evidence emerge that supports the effectiveness of surgical and cloth masks in this COVID pandemic or any similar type mask, then we will change our position and conclude otherwise. Our focus is on face masks for COVID, but we will touch gently on the issue of school closures and lockdowns, as these three issues remain the key public health policy catastrophes we have faced as global societies. Back in August 2020, a survey by Pew indicated that 85% of Americans wore masks when in public all or most of the time. So the public has been using masks extensively. We thus set the table in this review on the effectiveness of masking for COVID by asking, if these surgical and cloth masks are effective, why do the incidence of the virus or actual disease, and they're not the same thing, escalate so rapidly despite widespread use? Why is there no evidence across the United States and global nations showing that when use is mandated or not mandated given the general uptake of masking by the public, this contributes to reduced viral transmission? We are addressing here highly irrational, punitive, capricious, and groundless societal restrictions for a virus with an infection fatality rate based on Stanford University of 0.05% in persons under 70 years of age. So why would we continue this way with the unsound and very punitive restrictive policies and for so long once the factual characteristics of this virus become evident, and as alluded to above, we finally realize that its infection fatality rate, which is a more accurate and realistic reflection of mortality than the CFR, was really no worse than the annual influenza fatality rate. How do we arrive at the confusion and misinformation surrounding mask use, which is our focus, yet by extension, the crushing societal lockdowns and harmful school closures? There are serious harm and downsides due to these crushing restrictive policies, and we understand that one would think reflexively, if there is a pathogen, we should just lock and shut everything down and away. We understand this initial instinct. However, there are benefits and risks to any action, and the harms of these lockdowns and school closures far outweigh the benefits based on what has transpired. We even knew this soon after implementation of lockdowns, yet we continued catastrophic policies and are still continuing. How do we get here societally? How have our government bureaucratic leaders failed so disastrously? We lay heavy blame on our government leaders, but argue that the so-called medical experts who are part of the task force and guidance panels have been largely unscientific, illogical, and irrational in their guidance and statements. Untethered from the reality of things, and in many cases, just flat out misleading and wrong. The incessant campaign by the media has worked to drive fear and hysteria in the public, and that is also partly to blame. There appears to be an unholy alliance between government bureaucrats, the aforementioned medical experts, and a willing print and digital media. A vast lot of what these experts say on COVID makes no sense anymore, at times unhinged and lacking any credibility. In such incredibly important COVID-related input and guidance, these television and medical experts and many governmental leaders have failed to profound and often unimaginable ways, and we are left asking how they got this so very wrong. Is it that the medical experts don't read the science, or maybe cannot understand it? They talk about following the science, but seem blind to it. They clearly don't follow the science, else we would not be here. They seem not to understand the devastating and the devastation they have visited upon the lives of so many. We argue that the messaging by the media and medical experts initially suggested that all persons are of equal risk to illness from COVID infection. This is where it all went wrong and where society was greatly deceived by those who should not have done that. We were never all at equal risk. This was deeply flawed and has crippled the United States and global nations since day one of this pandemic. This was and remains a flat-out falsehood, and it has driven irrational fear by the public. This clearly erroneous intimidation has struck in the minds of the public and severely impacted the public's perception of their risk and how they would move forward. At this point, Neil, I'm going to get a drink of water. My throat's dry. And sure. While I'm getting that, would you make a statement based on how you think you,
yes,
listening public, respond to what I've just said?
I mean, see, when so far, I mean, to think about that, really, a lot of these things, especially masks, we know that it's not going to, unless you're wearing something like a really good mask, it's not going to stop the spread of COVID. And it won't protect you. It'll protect someone else potentially, so you won't get close to them. So in so many ways, it's just a way of controlling what's happening. It's a control feature because masks really do not stop the spread of COVID. COVID is spread through, and a lot of times family members, when it's people that are getting together, personal people, not the people that are going to big events, not people going to the grocery store. They're getting COVID when they put their guards down with family members. That's how it spread. It's through family outings in different places, local neighbors, kids spreading it. So masks being mandated in every building or different place doesn't stop the spread at all.
Absolutely. Okay, I can get back now. Let's address masks by first looking at school closures, as it bears mentioning that the disaster of flawed school closure policies directed by our government leaders have caused in our children's lives. The school closure catastrophe mirrors the masking catastrophe and similar unsound policies. We knew early on in 2020 that the key risk group was elderly patients with medical conditions. In spite of extremely low transmission rates and very low likelihood of spreading COVID virus among children or of becoming severely ill from COVID, they have gone on and destroyed a year of the children's school lives due to these nonsensical medical experts and hysterical media. And this will carry a huge long-term loss to our children. Did we have any data or science? Of course we did. Quality research in the leading journal, Nature, estimated the COVID-19 survival rate to be approximately 99.995 in children and teens. We knew this very early on, but that didn't stop public health agencies and experts from deceiving or failing to inform about the true risk. And the CDC is now in February 21, racing to any open podium and microphone it can find to tell us it's time to reopen schools and it can be done safely. Yet this is not new data the CDC is stumbling upon for the first time. No, they have always known this. The CDC always knew that it was safe to reopen schools for many, many months. They, like the rest of the globe, had the publicly available published pediatric children data since mid-2020, which has been consistent and clear that there is very low risk to children and schools should have not been closed in the first place or kept closed. The data has been stable and clear just after the start of the pandemic, that there is far less susceptibility for children or severe illness in them, and very low risk of hospitalization or death for children when it comes to COVID. Yet, despite what is available science and what it showed, they continued their school closure positions and policies and urgings that emboldened the unions and teachers to react and behave as they currently are, despite overwhelming science. Why wouldn't teachers and unions be petrified out of their minds based on the consistently illogical, nonsensical information emerging from our government agencies and medical experts? Yet, this misguided policy continues, and with mask use and other mandates, as we are to believe that all aspects of the pandemic response, that is, lockdowns, masking, vaccines, are fraught with these policies, irregularities, and aberrancies that are devastating to the public. As an example, we have doctors presently trying to mainstream early outpatient treatment for COVID in high-risk patients using established, safe, cheap, effective, and available drugs, but being pilloried by the nihilistic medical experts and establishment. Such early ambulatory sequence and combination treatment is a potential option that may reduce hospitalizations and death. Well, I want to say that on this program, Truth Just Below the Surface, we have had numerous reports on what you can safely do instead of taking the shot and instead of wearing face masks. And you should go back and listen to them in their entireties, because they are out there, they're available. You can use these other treatments instead of the more radical things that don't work or cause extreme illness and death. With the focus on face masks, however, where do we stand? In part two of this series, I'm going to talk about this. So come back in a very short period of time and hear part two, and I'm going to give you the data on face masks. Tell your friends and neighbors to listen to my program, because it's where you can get the truth and not the things that you're hearing every day, 24 hours a day, which are not the truth. Neil, thanks for having me on your simulcast today.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Wynn. Okay, that was Truth Just Below the Surface here on The Neil Haley Show. Take care, guys.